Greetings in the name of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and God the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of grace, that Spirit of truth, that Spirit of comfort who leads and guides us, we who are in Christ, as we journey from earth unto heaven. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for another day, for another opportunity to share your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through me, that the people may hear your truth and your wisdom, that we all may know how to love you and worship you in spirit and in truth, and love one another better, and live our lives better, according to your word, your will, and your way. And I pray that the greatest blessings on us all, including the listeners to this broadcast, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. We'd like to welcome each of you to this morning Sunday school lesson broadcast for January the 3rd, 2016. A brand new year. Happy New Year to each of you. This lesson is brought to you by the Baptist Ministers Fellowship, Texarkana, USA, where the Reverend Charles Smith is the president, and I am Reverend Chassie D. Boyd, a member of the Baptist Ministers Fellowship. And we presently meet each Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the Greater New Hope Baptist Church, 1101 Phoenix Street, Texarkana, Texas, where the Reverend Mayfield Brewster is the pastor. And we invite ministers to meet with us each Tuesday. And we also, on the fourth Tuesday, have public worship services at 7 p.m., where everyone is invited. Our lesson subject for today is entitled, Serving for Love, Serving for Love. Our devotional reading comes to us from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. The background scripture is from Genesis chapters 28 through 30. And the printed text is Genesis 29, verses 15 through 30. Our key verse is Genesis chapter 29, verse number 30. And it says, And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. This key verse gives us our lesson topic, again being serving for love. The central parties in our text are Jacob, Laban, Rachel, and Leah. In our background scripture, starting with Genesis 28, we learn that it was time for Jacob, the son of Isaac and Rebekah, to take a wife. For as Proverbs 18 and 22 says, Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So Isaac wanted Jacob to have a wife. But Isaac did not want Jacob to take a wife from among the people where he lived. Isaac sent Jacob to the house of Jacob's uncle Laban, his mother Rebekah's brother. For this lesson, we will divide our discussion into three major sections. One, looking for a wife and finding her. Two, it's time, I want my wife, my reward. And three, you deceive me, but I still want my wife, my reward. Our first section comes from Genesis 29, verses 15 through 19, again entitled Looking for a Wife and Finding Her. These scriptures read as follows. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Here we see that Jacob is looking for a wife, a helpmeet, as Eve was to Adam. That is his reason for traveling to see his uncle Laban. The care and guidance of God brought him to a well where some people were watering sheep. There he meets Rachel, Laban's daughter, who was there to water sheep. After learning who she was and helping her to water the sheep, he introduced himself, and they later found their way to Laban. So Jacob stayed with Laban for a month, and he was helping Laban. At some point, Laban asked Jacob what his wages should be for serving and helping him. Jacob didn't say he wanted sheep or money or anything like that, for Jacob's whole purpose for being there was not to make money, but to find a wife. So he said to Laban, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. The agreement was for Jacob to be rewarded with Rachel, not Leah, her older sister. Rachel was very beautiful and well-favored. The scripture indicates she was more appealing than Leah, at least to some folks. The phrase well-favored suggests she was well-endowed with a great figure, one that grabs your attention and urges love at first sight. Perhaps this is what caught Jacob's eye. Jacob felt he had found a woman to be his wife. So Jacob told Laban that he would work 7 years for Rachel's hand in marriage. His love for her was so strong that he was willing to wait 7 years to have her in marriage. But not only to wait 7 years, he was willing to work for her father for 7 years. While waiting for her, he was not idle. He was preparing to make a great home for her. He was preparing to be a great husband and father. 7 years? That is a huge price to pay. But as Proverbs 31:10 says, Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Jacob was willing to pay the price to show how much value he put into Rachel as a potential wife and father of his children. Let us now look at some life lessons and pearls of wisdom from these scriptures. We find that Jacob married a Kenite. This was a practice permitted in that day, but not in this day. Indeed, in Leviticus 18, God, through Moses, sets forth a number of laws concerning romantic relations with close kin. We are not under the Mosaic law now in this day, but it contains a number of principles that is brought forth into the new covenant. In Leviticus 18, God forbids sexual relations between parents and children, including step-parents and step-children, between siblings, including step-siblings, and a number of other kinships. In particular, regarding our lesson, Leviticus 18:18 forbids a man from having two sisters as wives, as Jacob did in that day. Also, this lesson shows that marriage laws and customs are cultural and generational to a certain degree. They have and do change over time. Some of these changes are consistent with God's principles, yet some are not. For example, same-sex marriage is a recent change in American laws, but same-sex marriage is not natural, nor is it consistent with God's principles as set forth in the Holy Bible. In America, we have different marriage laws and customs today than our ancestors had in times past. Moreover, different states, even today, have different marriage laws and customs. Right here in Texarkana, we have two states, Texas and Arkansas. If you live on one side of State Line Avenue, the law governing marriage is not the same as a family member who lives on the other side of State Line Avenue. Time does not permit me to discuss the various issues regarding marriage. My point is that we must recognize that marriage laws and customs change over time. But we, especially Christians, are called to conform to incorporate, and to support marriage laws and customs, if and only if they are consistent with God's word, will, and way. We should always stand with the apostles who said, we would rather obey God than man. Now to our second section, entitled, It's Time I Want My Wife, My Reward. These verses that we cover here are Genesis 29, 20 through 24, and they read as follows. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And so we find that Jacob worked 7 years as a servant to Laban, his uncle and the father of the woman he wanted to marry. Can you imagine it? He probably saw her every day, but knew he had to wait 7 years to have her. What a strong and patient man he must have been. But one thing we can expect is that they got to know some things about each other during those 7 years. But now, after 7 years, it was time for Jacob to have his wife, his reward. He had finished his part of the agreement. Now it was time for Laban to honor the agreement. Laban put together a marriage celebration of sorts. But our text shows that Laban had deceived Jacob and not told him everything that Laban planned. For he gave Leah to Jacob as his wife rather than Rachel, who Jacob expected. And Jacob laid with Leah as a husband lays with his wife. Now some life lessons from these scriptures. In verse 21, Jacob says unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." Notice that Jacob identifies Rachel as his wife, not his girlfriend. His wife who he's ready to take home in bed with as his reward. Yes, men, it is still God's way that she first becomes your wife before you go in to her. Yes, women, it is still God's way that he first become your husband before you allow him to go in to you. Girlfriend and boyfriend don't count. No matter how good she or he looks, no matter how much you want her or him, we ought to wait until both the man and the woman make a conscious, sincere decision to be one flesh for the rest of their lives and start to live together as husband and wife, not as girlfriend and boyfriend. I know that some people don't follow that biblical formula today, but to not follow it is sin. God still expects us, especially those who say they are Christians, to avoid that bedroom step until their husband and wife. Now, we look at Laban had a marriage celebration. Marriage is best celebrated not only by the couple, but by the couple's family, for it is a blending of two families. And the community gets involved. When the couple as well as the community honors marriage, adultery does not happen. Now let us look at our next section entitled, "You Deceived Me, But I Still Want My Reward." This comes from Genesis chapter 29, verses 25 through 30. And our scriptures read as follows. Verse 25 says, "And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also, for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also to Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years, which is our key verse. Now, after laying with the woman Laban gave to him, morning came, and Jacob saw that it was Leah instead of Rachel. Of course, Jacob realized he had been deceived by his uncle Laban. Jacob did not expect Leah to have done that on her own, for he expected that she would have had more respect for herself, for him, for her father, and for her family than that. So Jacob confronted Laban about the deception. Laban told Jacob it is a custom for the eldest daughter to be given away in marriage before the younger. The question comes to mind, was that a community custom or just Laban's custom? The Bible does not say here in Genesis 29. So Laban told Jacob that if he would accept Leah as his wife first and perform husbandly duties with her, Laban would also give him Rachel as his wife, provided he agreed to serve another 7 years. Because of his love for Rachel, Jacob agreed to Laban's request, even though it would cost him another 7 years of work. So Jacob went in to Leah and performed his husbandly duties. However, he didn't have to wait those 7 years to have Rachel. Laban then gave Jacob Rachel to wife after fulfilling 1 week of husbandly duties with Leah. Jacob then went in to Rachel, after which Jacob performed the agreed to additional 7 years of work for Laban. So we find that Jacob did not divorce Leah, but had 2 wives. Yet the scripture says Jacob still loved Rachel more than Leah. Let us now look at some life lessons and pearls of wisdom from these particular scriptures. One, we find that Laban deceived Jacob by first giving him Leah instead of Rachel. Galatians 6 and 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Jacob and his mother Rebekah had earlier deceived Jacob's father Isaac and Jacob's brother Esau. Now Jacob reaped some of what he had sown. Another life lesson is that we should be careful about who we lay with. Make sure you know the person well that you lay with. Many divorces in single-parent homes exist because men and women lay with those who they have not gotten to know very well. If they are not good enough to marry, they are not good enough to have children with. If they are not good enough to have children with, then they are not good enough to lay with. It is really that simple. Oh, how wise our God is, for he can see further down the road than any of us could ever see, no matter how beautiful she is. You know, the Bible talks about how Rachel was more beautiful than Leah. Talks about Leah having tender eyes, and this could refer to having some abnormality in one or both of her eyes. Talks about Rachel being well-formed and well-figured. But we know that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and we know that we should not put all our stock in beauty. But we should look to that person who satisfies all of our spiritual as well as our physical needs. As I begin to close, we just want to remember that this lesson is about serving for love. It is about how we should relate to other men and women in our society, romantically and sexually, and how families play a role, because marriage is about a blended family. And then just want to mention as I close a final word on marriage and liberty in our society. We must be careful not to impose more on people than God imposes on them. We can advise, but we must give them the liberty to decide the manner of life they live in the Lord on matters of human rights that are supported by Scripture. Yet we must not compromise on things that God does not give one the right to do. God gives a person the liberty to do wrong with potential consequences. But there is a difference between liberty or freedom to do and the right to do. God gives no one the right to do wrong. A legitimate right is never a wrong. The church is called to stand against all wrongs, even if governments or other religions or other non-religious institutions call such rights wrong under the guise of human rights. We should always stand with the apostles who said, "We would rather obey God than man." Again, this has been the Reverend Chaucer D. Boyd of the Baptist Ministers Fellowship. And we meet on each Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the Greater New Hope Baptist Church. And all ministers are invited to meet with us. And then on the fourth Tuesday of each month, everyone's invited to meet with us for worship services at 7 p.m. God bless you and have a great day.